So with a sense of awe, if this is God's word, let us open up our mind to its truth this morning. Jesus is speaking. What does he say to us? He says, watch out for enter, Jesus says, through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who has built his house on sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Lord, open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts. This is the word of God. This whole passage is about the choices that we make. Choices to believe or reject. Choices to obey or ignore. Ultimately, this whole passage is about freedom. And the trouble with sin is disobeying God, disobeying this book and the things that it says. The trouble with sin is it takes away freedom. It takes away freedom. It takes away our choices. It messes up with other people's choices. It takes away other people's freedom too, because sin always has innocent victims. It's its very nature. Choices, then, the choices you and I make matter. They have consequences. They have consequences today. They have consequences for all eternity. They have consequences that affect others. So what do we choose? It matters. It's up to you generation, isn't it? it's up to you, I can do what I like, it's my choice. Well, my friends, if you sin, it won't just affect you, because others watch, and other lives are touched. Choices. You know, I'm afraid I can remember when it was cool to look like this. And maybe you can remember that too. The words fashion victim come to mind. Cool man. We can laugh about it now. It was the age of big hair, wasn't it? For men and for women. And boy, my hair was big. I tell you, my hair, when it grows, it doesn't just grow down, it grows vertically. I had big hair. Hendrix had nothing on me. And I can remember my parents were not keen that I should grow my hair. The minute I had a choice, I chose to let it grow, and I didn't see a hairdresser for many years. But you know what? It didn't really matter. Because you can, if you cut your hair off and you shave it to the skin, it'll grow again. If you let it grow feet long and decide to cut it, you can cut it. It doesn't matter. You've got a choice, do you see? What you do with your hair and how big your jeans are and all the rest of it, it doesn't matter. Because you can change your mind. I remember the day when I got fed up with my long hair and I went to the hairdressers. I hadn't been to one so long, I didn't realise you needed to make an appointment for that kind of thing. I can remember the hairdresser said, "Oh, usually you would make an appointment." I said, "Well, do I need to come back?" He said, "No, I want to do this." Chop, chop, chop. So you can change your hair. You can change your clothes. You can change your mind. That doesn't matter. Anyone got a Bible? If you have, would you like to, somebody, look up Leviticus 19:28 and read it out to me. Leviticus 19:28. It's there in the Old Testament. Leviticus 19:28. First one to find it, read it out to me, please. What does it say? Thank you. That's interesting. See, you can change your hair, you can change your clothes, but you can't change your tat. And I hate to say this to this tattoo generation, but the time is going to come when the tats are as uncool as that. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's your choice. What are you going to do? God wants you to have freedom of choice. That's what I'm talking about today. Freedom. Freedom. The Bible says that sex outside of marriage is wrong. I remember hearing of a woman who she'd had a one-night stand. It wasn't her normal lifestyle choice. And as a result of that, she got HIV and AIDS. Poor lady. Feel so sorry for her. She said, "Well, I learned from a mistake." Well, she learned to regret it. But it had taken away her choice, because that is a permanent consequence, isn't it? And if you choose to disobey God's commands, there will be consequences, and they might be permanent consequences. So your choices matter. God's will for you is that you keep your freedom, that you keep your health, that you keep your options open, so that you can be free to change your mind about stuff. Yes? Isn't that good? Have an open mind. Listening to what God is saying. The Bible talks about the freedom and the glory of the children of God. In our passage today, Jesus is saying, "Look, choose me. Choose freedom." And what did Jesus say about enter through the narrow gate? he's saying we have to decide for ourselves about him. I can remember when I was at teacher training college, and I wasn't a Christian when I went there, but I fell in with some Christian friends, and they told me about Jesus. And I had so many questions, and I asked them all my questions, question after question, and patiently they took this book, and they answered my questions through this book. It took them ages. And I can remember one night when we talked right through the night about these things. And then one of them said, Mike, it's up to you now. You need to choose. We can't do anything more for you. You need to choose. It's up to you. I was so scared, because I knew in my heart it was true. That night I would have to decide, was I going to believe? Was I going to obey? Was I going to follow Jesus for the rest of my days? Or was I going to carry on without him? I knew that night I would have to choose. I went back to my room, I fell to my knees, and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. That was the best thing I have ever done. Have you done that? You need to choose. But when you choose, it won't just affect you. Choose today. Stop putting it off. Choose today. Jesus says there is a broad road. And our neighbors and our friends, people in our family, people at school are walking down that broad road and they're content. I don't think anything's wrong. They're complacent. They don't want to think too hard about this stuff. And Jesus said it is a broad road that leads to destruction. Many are on it. Our lovely neighbors, our friends, our colleagues at work. Don't you care that they're walking on a road to destruction? Don't you want to warn them? Don't you want to plead with them? Only they can make the choice in the end. You can warn, you can tell, you can beg, you can weep, you can pray. But only they can make the choice to leave the broad road that leads to destruction and enter through a narrow gate that is faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. Do you realize that? Why on earth did he talk so much about hell? About a sorting out of people as the sheep from the goats that the shepherd does in the pen in the morning. Why? Because he wanted to warn. He wanted people to choose freedom, to choose to escape, to choose heaven, to choose glory. It matters what you believe about these things. What do you think motivates me as an evangelist? Love? Well, surely love. I have devoted my life to sharing this message. I love my neighbours. I've got lovely neighbours in North Petherton where I live. They're all lovely. I walk Josh to school in the mornings, and I walk with a number of them. I love my neighbours. And I want them to choose to leave the broad road, but they're not going to make any choices unless I tell them, are they? So I will tell them, because I love them. What about you? What stops you? They must be warned. They must have a chance to choose the most important choice in life. Sometimes I wonder if the Christian church in the UK has lost its edge. Well, the statistics say we have. Why have we lost our edge? Is it because we've stopped believing the things that Jesus said? Is it that we've stopped believing this book? We say we believe it, but in reality we don't. Jesus talked about hell. Do we believe that there is a heaven and a hell? Or have we stopped believing that? Has it become inconvenient? There are inconvenient truths, aren't there? Have we lost our edge because we have lost faith in the words of Jesus Christ? Come on. It's time for us to wake up. We should repent of these things. We should weep and wail and mourn for our unbelief. Do you know every revival that this nation has ever known has started with the Christian church on its knees, repenting in that way? Oh Lord, that He would send that revival today on us here. One of the great revivals happened in a church down in the deep south in the United States 100 years ago. In a church so poor, it had sawdust on its floor and most of the congregation were black. And that revival swept the United States of America. Would that God would do that here in Chard. And start with us. Why not? Why don't we repent? Why don't we weep? We need to choose truth, my friends, and we need to talk about the false prophets. Jesus said, watch out for the false prophets. And he goes on to point out another disturbing picture. The false prophets are the leaders within the Christian church itself. He says they are wolves in sheep's clothing. In other words, he says they're dressed up like one of us. They appear as one of us. But really they are false prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing. They call Jesus Lord. They might even look like they're doing great things in His name, prophesying and performing miracles according to this. Really, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. What on earth is that talking about? You and I may be aware of groups like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons who masquerade as Christians, but really deny what the Bible says about our most important beliefs. None of them believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I remember Jehovah's Witness calling on my door, and I knew he had his New World Translation, their own version of the Bible. And I said, have you got a Bible with you? He said, yeah. I said, good, turn to me. Right at the end there, the story about Doubting Thomas, can you find that? And he looked in John's Gospel, right at the end of John's Gospel. I can't remember the verse now because I'm telling this off the cuff. And I said, would you read that verse to me? What does it say? Tell me, what do you believe about Jesus? Is he your Lord and your God? And the man said, he is my Lord. I said, I know you believe that. Is he your God, God with a big G? And he said, no, he's not my God. I said, would you read what that says? And Thomas says to Jesus, my Lord and my God. I said, look, it's God with a capital G in your own Bible. But you don't believe that. You are mistaken. God loves Jehovah's Witnesses. He wants them to be saved. God loves Mormons. He wants them to be saved. We must warn them. And we warn them by telling them the truth. Watch out for wolves in sheep's clothing. But what if the false prophets were even closer to home than that? My wife's niece, bless her, attends a church in Bristol. It's a big church, evangelical church. My wife's niece is living with her boyfriend, has done for many years. She goes to a home group, but it's okay with the home group leader because she's doing the same thing. It's not okay, according to this book. It's not okay at all. Jesus warns us to watch out for wolves in sheep's clothing who will lead us astray, who will deny the truth. Not just in the things they say, but in the things they do, because that's what this passage is really about. It's about the things we do. You can't say, Lord, Lord, and then ignore what he says. He's not your Lord. He's not your Lord at all. It's all or nothing with Jesus. Well, who are the wolves in sheep's clothing here? I said in fear and trepidation, who are the wolves in sheep's clothing in the Christian church here? Watch out for them. Watch out for them. Choose obedience. Everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus says, and puts them into practice. That's who you should listen to. And you can't pick and choose. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. It's not enough to say we believe in Jesus. We have to do the things he does. So, my daughter and family have bought the other half of my house. It's quite an old house. And I spent the entire month of December with my son-in-law's dad sorting the house out. He's a good builder, so what he did was good. I have skills, but not as keen as his. Anyway, one of the problems was that the water was coming in a lead pipe. So our plumber, good man, he said, look, what you got to do, you got to dig the hole for me. So you got to go through the lounge floor just here, go down, so you got down 3.5 foot below the pavement level, the other side of the wall, and then I want you to tunnel under the wall. The wall's that thick. Tunnel under the wall, and then I can put my pipe through it. Okay, Mike, tell me when you're done. So I had to dig through the lounge floor. I thought, what am I going to find? So I had my SDS drill, right? Brrr. It didn't take long to get through the concrete floor because it was only about that thick. Underneath were these seriously old floor tiles, but didn't take me long to drill through those. Underneath that was, well, the mud that the house is built on, compacted clay that the house is built on. So it's really tough clay. Do you know that? It would never been moved for that long. So I was drilling through the clay, and I was looking at the wall, because I was right next to it. And the wall, when I got to pavement level, stopped. Foundations? I didn't think those things were necessary in the times gone by. There are no foundations. And Jesus is saying that is a picture of people's lives today. There are no foundations. And when everything goes wrong, that's when you find out what your life is built on. When I do teacher training, teachers don't want to talk about death. It's in the curriculum. They're supposed to teach about death, but they don't want to do it. So I have a whole school of primary school teachers. I've been to schools here on the doorstep. And I love to talk about death. Why do I love to talk about death? What happens when we die? What do we believe about that? Why are we here? What gives fulfillment? Where do we go when we have a crisis? People that have no belief have no answers to these questions. That's why the teachers don't want to talk about death. They don't want to die. It's nothing to do with the kids' sensitivities. It's all about theirs. A house without foundations, a life built on nothing. That's what Jesus is talking about. Where can we find hope? Where can we find peace? Where can we find security when all our earthly security is gone? How can we know we're going to heaven? Not hope, know that we have a hope in heaven. All these things can be yours through trust in Jesus Christ. So trust him. But it's going to be all or nothing. Because if he's going to be your Lord, he'll need to be your Lord in everything. So here's the thing, Christian. It's not enough to say we believe. The point of the parable that Jesus told about that house with no foundations is we've got to practice what we preach, or else we have no foundations. And we've got to practice what we preach in every area in our lives and not pick and choose the things that suit us to believe. If we are not obedient, there is really no difference anymore between us and the people who do not obey and believe around us. Am I making any sense? And that world, never mind God, that world wants to see a difference. They want to see that there is hope somewhere, and they're looking at you. So show them the difference. For broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many are on it. Choose a better way. It is time to stop living with compromise. Let us choose the freedom and glory of the children of God. Let us choose to enter through the narrow gate and walk a different path from those around us. Let us choose not to listen to the false prophets that masquerade as fellow Christians. Expose them. Call them out. They are lying. And they are disobedient. Let us build our lives on firm foundations and practice what we preach. May the Lord God help us so to do. Amen.